Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
There's Myles Garrett. We saw him earlier this year doing some stuff solo. There he is.
Oh, my
hitting
God.
Hitting a guy in the head with the ball. And Garrett posted that on social media. I was just there for the cardio, he said. And Kevin Stefanski, the coach of the Browns, told me earlier this year he's got no problem with his guys going out playing basketball on their own to stay in shape. Now, it's OTA season. Maybe you would say if that's a recent video, if you want your cardio, you can come to the facility. I don't know if he is or isn't among the Browns players who are there, but I admire the guy who decided to play aggressive defense on Myles Garrett.
No, I agree. Like, really. First off, there's some amazing things about that. Can we show that video again? First off, unbelievable moves and ball handling, and then, like, no space to really gather and jump and dunk. Like, but yeah, the guy guarding him is like a pretty big guy, decent athlete, and actually went up there pretty good. I love it. I love the friend and the guy who got dunked on even looked up and smiled like, damn, that was awesome. That's amazing.
He took the ball right in the head.
Right in the head.
Like getting hit in the head with a helmet. Oh, wait, that's happened too.
One of those where you go home or you go to the bar later and you're like, you're not embarrassed. You're like telling people. You're like, hey, you're like, Myles Garrett dunked on me today, guys. Like, and I was playing good defense. Like, I was in a good spot. He still dunked on me. Amazing.
You survived. Hell, yeah, yes. Right. He lived. He lived to tell about it. But I admire that because I'll tell you what, most people would just say, hey, Miles, go ahead. Miles has the ball.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
clear,
Miles.
Clear the path.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Myles Garrett, to your points that you've made a million times, I do think fits in the category of if he got hurt playing basketball, he's still going to get paid. He's a superstar and arguably the best pass rusher in football. So that's not going to be the Juwan James situation. And he knows that.
But just remember, it was a couple of years ago when we saw the video of Patrick Mahomes playing basketball in a similar setting like that, and the Chiefs quickly mobilized. Patrick, no.
Sorry.
None of this. And you are taking the risk. Now, it's one thing for Patrick Mahomes. It's another thing for Myles Garrett. You're taking the risk some smartass is going to try to mess with you.
Definitely.
And you're going to get injured that way.
Definitely.
I don't think there's a smartass big enough to try to do that with Myles Garrett. I think Myles is safe. He doesn't have to worry about somebody taking him out below the waist and trying to take his knees out. And I think Myles Garrett would throw someone through a wall if he came down to that. All right. Tua Tagovailoa, the Dolphins quarterback last year, who was benched a couple of times. Here he is from yesterday talking about whether and to what extent he properly was aware of the team's playbook as a rookie. Here he is.
In what ways would you say your rookie season was not up to your standard? I know you've expressed that sentiment in the past.
Yeah, I'd say in every aspect. Getting to the line of scrimmage, kind of getting that order of operation down, my cadence, and then pre-snap reads, and then my post-snap reads, just the whole shebang with that. I felt I wasn't comfortable with during my rookie year. So just working on a lot of those things in year two to, be better.
I think last year for me, last year wasn't, I wasn't as comfortable just in general. I wasn't comfortable calling plays. I think the guys that we had last year were phenomenal. I just didn't have, the comfortability of kind of checking plays, alerting plays and doing that. I just rode with the play, even if I knew it in a way that it wasn't going to work. I was going to try to make it work still. But the firepower that we have this year, I mean, it's good, but you got to get it out to them too. You're able to protect yourself and then get it out to them, have them make plays, then you'll be good.
So you're saying that there were instances last year where you were executing plays you didn't feel comfortable with, and you didn't feel comfortable checking out of those plays into other plays.
Actually, what I'm saying is I didn't actually know the playbook necessarily really, really good. And that's on no one else's fault, but my fault. And our play calls were simple when I was in. I didn't have alerts and checks. Whereas now, feeling more comfortable, I can kind of maneuver my way, through these things now.
Look, I'm not surprised by this. I appreciate the candor. I appreciate the follow-up so we have clarity, so he doesn't say later that it was taken out of context or that's not what he meant. He locked in. He's on that story, and he's admitting it. And I don't think that's uncommon. That's my big takeaway. As I listen to it, I think we kind of expect it. And it's the rare rookie who can come in and immediately pick it up, immediately get it, immediately have access to all the checks. That's why the older quarterbacks are so valuable. They've seen it all. They've done it right. All. They can process it. This is his first experience. And for some guys, it is going to be a little overwhelming.
Yeah,
Chris.
Definitely. And let's not forget, he was also going through the challenges of like the hip injury, right? And all those. So that's not leading you to be comfortable either. Like, man. Much respect for Tua saying that right there. I got a lot of respect for him putting himself out there. That's why he is a charismatic leader and like guys follow him and things like that. Yeah, you would expect that from a rookie. But what you don't expect is for a rookie or a guy going in his second year to admit some of those things. I know from some people that Tua has told people like that and privately, like, the NFL surprised him a little bit that way. He wasn't prepared for maybe the, all the offense and things like that. But to me, where it's really cool, when you're trying to be the starting quarterback, the face of the franchise, the leader of the team, all of those type of things. Listen, the players on that team are going to hear that right there. They know the truth. They know the offense might have been less checks with Tua, or he might have not been as comfortable or known the offense quite to the way he should as a starting quarterback. But the fact that he answers it like that, instead of getting some political BS type answer, where now the teammates are watching the news that night going, oh, he's lying, that's bullcrap, he didn't know the plays, or he's making up excuses and all that. Now they're going to come in and be like, man, our quarterback's real. Like, he throws himself under the bus when he's not, like, up to his standard and things like that. And that, to me, is where you gain a lot of respect from the players and the coaches. Because the coaches, too, of course, know the truth. And they're going to see that and be like, look at this guy. He took all the blame. He took all the heat. He's putting a big spotlight on, I need to be better. And that's why he's Tua and everybody seems to love him that's around him.
Doesn't this help explain why he was yanked from a couple of
Definitely.
Games if he really didn't have full access to the playbook? I mean, we're getting down to crunch time here. We got a chance to win this game.
Right.
We can't screw around with remedial offense.
Exactly.
We got to put in the guy who knows the offense inside and out.
100%, Mike. No question about it. Yeah, the remedial offense, or like, hey, it's crunch time and we need a guy that, okay, it's 3rd and 7, and all of a sudden they're bringing some crazy blitz, he's going to get to that right check that Tua said he wasn't comfortable with. So now, wait, we got the four-week blitz. The Will Free safety's blocked up, and now everything's good, and I can throw the ball and make the right throw into that coverage and blitz and all those type of things. Exactly right. So they were handicapped or handcuffed that way, and that's certainly a big part of the reason I would think that, yes, he was out of those games in those situations.
And what he said yesterday would help explain why he wasn't upset with that. I think he understood.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm probably not the best guy to be in here in these moments with the game on the line, given the fact that I'm still getting comfortable with this NFL offense. Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. Look, we love Tua. Just because we point out that maybe the Dolphins will get Deshaun Watson if they can. Maybe they thought about taking a quarterback this year. All these other issues. I mean, we saw it. When Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert were as good as they were last year, it becomes glaring that the guy who was tied to the tank for phrase
right.
in 2019 wasn't the best of the bunch.
Yeah.
And he was by far number three. And everyone knows it. So he knows it too, and he knows what he needs to do to get better. And I agree with you, Chris. He's going to be in good shape. And he's going to have friends and supporters in the locker room. And he does. Let's hear from Mike Gesicki, Dolphins tight end, who spoke with reporters yesterday and defended his quarterback.
Yeah, I think if you look at, you know, his past, you know, career, you know, dating all the way back to college, I think, you know, he's been put in, you know, big positions and, you know, made plays. He's dealt with, you know, adversity, whether it's, you know, injury or whatever it may be, fought back from that. And, you know, he's also dealt with, you know, people saying, you know, stupid, uneducated stuff about him that, you know, they're not right about. So he's dealing with that, and he's, you know, continuing to work and continuing to, you know, come in here each and every day. And, you know, I'm happy that, you know, he's our quarterback. The problem with the criticism is it's not, you know, there's nothing behind it. You know, I mean, the kid had came in here and, you know, people were already, you know, calling for him. I mean, played 9 games and he played, you know, did a lot of really good things for us, you know, stepped up in some big situations, you know, made plays, and I think got better each and every week. And now, you know, everybody's, you know, been, you know, talking about his confidence and, you know, how he looks, you know, this year, obviously in a couple, you know, walkthroughs and all that kind of stuff, but still, you know, looks good. And, you know, been working hard and, you know, investing a lot of time into this season. And so I'm excited for, you know, his future. You know, I think he's just going to continue to, you know, focus on what's important and, you know, the opinions that are important, because at the end of the day, you know, that's really all that matters, is, you know, the people inside this building and, you know, the guys upstairs and the guys in the locker room. And I can tell you that, you know, firsthand, the guys in the locker room, you know, we all believe in him, we all respect them, and we're all excited about him.
I think one of the reasons Gesicki says that is because of the candor that we saw earlier in the segment from Tua,
right?
Because he acknowledges that there were issues last year and he's doing what he has to do to improve and become the best quarterback he can be. And it wins over your teammates and it makes them into your friends when you are honest about your shortcomings and not obsessed with trying to conceal them.
That's right. Well, now he feels comfortable too, that if something happens on a play, like the quarterback's got his back, whether Gesicki messes up or maybe he didn't mess up and Tua said the wrong thing in the huddle, and now the coaches yell at a Gesicki because they think you're wrong. Like, you know, he probably feels like, well, Tua's the kind of guy that's going to be like, no, coach, that was me. You can get great respect that way. You know, I know that happened to me just luckily a few times in my career. I can remember sitting in a meeting one day, and I said the wrong thing on a Friday practice, and Mike Allstott ran the wrong route. And, you know, when nothing was really said at the time, you know, Gruden made a face or whatever during practice, but then the next morning we're watching that film, and he kind of gets on Mike Allstott, like, what the hell? What are you doing? And I, you know, raised my hand. I was like, oh, no, that was my fault. I messed that up. And, like, the team erupted that I did that. They erupted. They were, like, banging on the table and, like, yeah, like, and that's just a, you know, I'm just showing a little light of what that can be in a locker room that's really good there. And that's where I am excited for Tua, his leadership skills. And he did do some good things last year. There's no doubt about it. The problem with Tua is, there were rumors of the lack of buzz of being impressed, right, by people down there. We knew that. That was, I think, a real thing. And then the fact that the Dolphins actually played Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, and they got to, like, study them and see them, and they went, wait, our guy's not doing that. So that added to maybe the pressure on the Tua situation as well.
By the way, I had to smile when you say Gruden made a face. He has one face.
Yeah, right.
That he makes. It's the face that he carries around all the time. Right. I think it's his resting face. Anyway, let's take a break. The Top 40 Chris Sims quarterback countdown continues with two guys from the same team. We'll look at that next here on PFT Live. All right, the countdown continues, and look at that, 33 and 32, same logo, not a typo. Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Locke, now teammates, competing to be the starting quarterback unless and until the Broncos trade for Aaron Rodgers. Assuming that doesn't happen, does the fact, Chris, that you have Teddy one spot ahead of Drew, is that your indication that Teddy should be the starter?
I favor him more right now. You know, my list is done as right now, right? This is the top 40 quarterbacks as I see it going into the 2021 season. Everybody's on the same team, and this is really my depth chart at the position. That's basically what it is. I got a 40-man depth chart, and yeah, as I sit here right now, I trust Teddy Bridgewater more than I do Drew Locke. Drew Locke has more potential and big-time talent. There's no doubt about that, and there's a lot to like about Drew Locke. We've talked about it a lot, Mike. I mean, big arm, pretty good athlete. We've seen some moments that I think you and I on Sunday have watched and went, wow, those were some damn good throws and plays and all of that. But he's got a little bit of that Brett Favre gunslinger, I can fit it in there no matter what, no matter how small the hole is, I'm going to be aggressive and do those type of things that he's got to knock out of his game. And that's where Teddy Bridgewater has a great advantage over Drew Locke. You know, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, Mike, is the old phrase of, yeah, he's not going to win you games, but he's not going to lose you any either. Drew Locke, he can lose you some games right now, but he's got the potential to be a guy that can do some extraordinary things and win some football games too. So hopefully all this, hey, met with Peyton Manning in the offseason, he's, I'm sure, watched himself on film a lot and realizes he's just got to change his approach and style a little bit if he wants to survive in the league and be a starter and be a star one day in the league.
Yeah, and look, he's only got 2 years in the NFL. Yep. Injuries have been an issue, and this is a situation where the light can come on. But if it's going to come on, it's got to come on soon. This is his chance.
Yes.
They brought in the guy to compete with him. The Aaron Rodgers rumors are continuing to loom, and they'll... Right. If there's no trade, and there likely won't be, it's still going to be something that's on the table for next year. If Locke wants this job, if he wants to stay with the Broncos, if he wants to become the guy there, this is the time that he's got to step it up.
Yeah.
And he's got to use that presence of Teddy Bridgewater as the impetus to reach that higher level. You had Drew Locke at 25 last year, Teddy at 29. So they're both down.
Yeah.
And maybe that competition will cause one of them to emerge. I think it's good for the Broncos to have two guys who are so closely matched.
Yes.
Because you assume, you hope, you pray that one of them is going to access a higher level of performance because of that competition.
Definitely, definitely. Like, so closely matched and have opposite playing styles that I think maybe could wear off on either guy a little bit. Like Teddy Bridgewater, I'd go, he needs to look at Drew Locke and go, can I take some of that over-aggressiveness you have and give it to me? To where I could, you know, push the ball down the field and take a few more chances. That's one of the negative things about him at times, you know. But it is Vic Fangio, a defensive coach. They do have a good defense there. Bradley Chubb is, you know, and Von Miller should be back in the fold as that duo this year. Everything looks good from that standpoint. But they have insurance for kind of either way of how this goes. And, yeah, I give Bridgewater the advantage right now because of, yes, taking care of the football, more experience, not losing games. But Drew Locke is one of those guys on this list that could make a considerable jump. And I would also say if Drew Locke can show during training camp and preseason that he's got the offense and all of those things, he is the guy that can maximize, I think, their talent on their offensive side of the ball the most. But it's an if. It's a big if. We got to see. You know, there's no excuse for either one of these quarterbacks, whoever starts in Denver, because as we've mentioned a lot over the last 14, 15 months, Denver's stacked on offense. They're stacked. And it's year two with Pat Shurmur. The O-line's good. The tight end's good. And the wide receiving core is as good as any in football. So they got to get better results at the quarterback to help their team out.
Put that graphic back up, please, Kristen. The odds provided by PointsBet Sportsbook for the quarterback to take the first snap.
Yeah.
The exact same odds, plus 140 for Locke and Bridgewater. Then there's Brett Rypien at plus 2,000. In between, other,
yeah,
plus 220. Plus 220 right. is not that much farther from plus 140. Other is Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
Isn't other Aaron Rodgers?
Or Deshaun Watson, maybe, I guess. Yeah. But, yeah, one of those two. Right. Other is Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson. And, yeah, I think there's still a lot of people in the NFL that think Denver has their eye on that situation. So there's no doubt about it. So we'll see. They got a good team. They need the quarterbacks to show up.
Other can be anyone. Other can be Chris Sims.
Yeah, well, those odds would be a whole lot lower.
Other can be Brock Osweiler, but you're still in other. I'm in other. Other is anyone.
Yes.
Billions of people are, I always say, take the field. Other has the field of the entire world.
Yeah.
Other than Locke, Bridgewater, and Rypien. All right, Jared Goff, down from 24, which some viewed as a diss, a slight, an insult last year. He's down to 31, and those folks who thought it was an insult to be at 24, probably saying, yeah, 31. Hey, right now, 31 for Jared Goff is probably the right spot. Chris, I still love the fact that the Rams felt compelled to tuck Goff into the Matthew Stafford trade, so maybe the boss won't realize that we're giving up a first-round pick to get this horrible contract off the books. We've been down this road.
Yeah.
They never should have done it. The guy has, I don't know that regressed is the right word, because I don't think it was him in 2018 when they were a Super Bowl team. It was Todd Gurley. It was Brandon Cooks. It was Robert Woods. It was Cooper Kupp. Jared Goff was just the guy who pulled it all together. Is he going to be able to have any remote degree of success, do you believe, with the Lions this year without the quality of weapons around him that he's enjoyed in L.A.?
You're right. I mean, and no Sean McVay. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of questions there, I think. And I think that Jared Goff is, yeah, hanging on to being a starting quarterback by a thread. You know, there's things to like about his game. I know that he is tough. I'm going to give him that. He's played in a lot of big football games, so he's got the moxie of not being, you know, intimidated by any of that either. But there's issues with his game, you know, they're all around. You know, and I'm a guy that, like, listen, I give experience, like, you know, a real thought, and it helps in my rankings. And I understand he has some experience. But for a guy that's played in the NFL for 5 years, he doesn't show that type of experience when you watch him on film or do things like that. There is a lack of awareness of situational football at times and what to do, you know. He can have moments of being a poor thrower. He throws a very uncatchable ball, just like we showed on some of those highlights there. It's a knuckle that doesn't spin hard, and it wobbles. Those are hard to catch. He's not the greatest within the pocket. He's not good at all within the pocket, actually, with moving in there. And then, of course, extending plays or scrambling is not one of his things either. He does have a strong arm. You know, he does know how to be a leader to a certain extent, but not going to have a great presence there. So that's where I'm on the fence with a guy like Jared Goff. I have some guys, yeah, that, of course, haven't played a down in the NFL yet that are going to be in front of him. But that's where I look at it and go, hey, talent not great for Jared Goff. And the fact that he has the experience and stuff, it doesn't really show all that much. Hey, he's running a 3rd-and-1 bootleg out to the right. You know, and he throws a ball 15 yards down the field into double coverage, and you go, what? You could have just ran for 4 yards and got the first down, and we keep going. Why did you do that? There's too much stuff like that constantly. Or it's a defensive struggle, the game, and all of a sudden he throws a ball into double coverage against the Jets or makes an errant throw to go, like, wait, this is not the right time to make that throw or do those type of things. And that's where he's a little confusing to me as an evaluator.
The other options on the roster, because you said that Jared Goff is hanging on to a starting job by a thread. The problem is Tim Boyle and David Bloughg. It's either Blau or Blow or Blough.
It's Blau.
I think of the three options, that's right. It's the Blau King. I forgot about the Blau King, David Blau. How could I forget? But again, between Blau, Blow, and Blough.
He's a Blau King. You're the blowhard. So, yes, there you go.
Senor Blau no es macho, solamente un borracho. But nevertheless, who are they going to bench him for?
No, you're
He's
right.
He's safe.
Right.
They didn't draft anybody. Unless they bring someone in via trade or free agency, there's no way Goff's in trouble this year.
No, I don't think so either. No, we heard the rumors that there might have been some interest in, you know, the quarterback with that top 10 pick and all that. I think he was very relieved. He said that after the draft that, it felt good and it showed the team had confidence in him and those type of things. And I understand them going with Jared Goff. They're in a rebuild here, the Detroit Lions. So they're paying the guy a little bit and doing that. He has won some football games. They're going to get their team in order before, you know, maybe they address the quarterback situation, or they just want to see what he has. You know, I think Brad Holmes might have some belief in the guy that maybe he can turn things around and all of that type of stuff. So that's where you can go. He's been there. He's done that. He's won some football games. But he's tough. But the bottom line is the Rams were trying to bench him and not play him for John Wolford. We can't forget yes. that aspect. They thought
that's Wolford, almost as bad as being benched for David Blau.
Well, that's what I'm. So that tells you a little bit too. And you asked, I talked about, like, I don't know if he's regressed. I would argue yes, in ways. Yes, I think he has regressed from 2 or 3 years ago. So this is a big year for Jared Goff if he wants to continue to be a starting quarterback.
Pete says, whenever Sim shuts up, go to break, because we're heavy.
I shut up.
So let's go to break. He shuts up. We are drafting the all-time great special teamers in honor of Adam Vinatieri. We'll do that when PFT Live continues right after this.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear debris with the 40-volt jet fan leaf blower. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
All right.
This Sunday. Oh, it's you.
Hey, get promo. Off my read, no, okay, I, man? This Sunday, enjoy the greatest spectacle in racing. 33 of the world's best drivers battle head-to-head for a chance to kiss the bricks and get a free bottle of milk, too. That's of course. Sunday, 11 a.m. on NBC. That's right. That's how you do a read right there, Florio. That's how it's done. All right, what would you... milk at the end? Like, what kind of milk are you doing?
I don't drink milk.
Right.
I eat cheese.
You eat
That's
cheese.
That's where I get my dairy.
Okay.
I eat cheese.
All right. But if you had a, I mean, if you won the Indianapolis 500, you have to drink milk.
First of all, I wouldn't win the Indianapolis 500, so
would you
I
just shut up and
milk.
Play along with me? Would you drink skim 2% or whole fat? That's what I want to know.
You can kiss 2% of my ass. I would drink chocolate milk.
You would drink, that would be cool. Okay. I would be down with that. And then, I mean, would you kiss the bricks?
You can kiss 2% of my ass.
The kissing the bricks thing. A lot of germs on the floor there. But, I mean, I guess if you win the Indianapolis 500, you got to do it.
If you dropped your hamburger on the bricks,
oh,
would you eat the hamburger?
Well, I mean, if you're going to kiss the bricks, you might as well eat the damn hamburger, too. So, yes, I probably would in this scenario.
Would you lay on the bricks and be vaccinated? That's really the question. Yeah. All right, a trivia question. Best special teams of all time. Adam Vinatieri's great-great-grandfather served under this ill-fated general. What is the general's name?
Ill-fated general?
Great-great-grandfather.
God.
Ill-fated. That
I know.
Means it did not end well
right.
for this general.
Gosh, I have no idea. I feel like I have names coming
This general had no patches on his uniform either.
No? All right, just tell me who it is. Who the hell is it?
I assume it's Custer.
Is it Custer? Okay.
Yeah. General Custer.
See, I had names going in my head, but I was like, I actually was a little scared. That sounds too stupid there, so I wasn't sure.
Well, you did a good job.
Thanks.
There he is. Awesome hair. He's got the Trevor Lawrence hair with a little curl in it. That's what Lawrence would look like if he, you know, if he put curlers in his hair before he went to bed at night. That's what he'd look like the next morning. All right, wow. Let's take a break. Not take a break. Let's get the first pick.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Or take a break.
You're going on like my reads. What the hell are you doing here?
You know, we got 9 minutes left in the show. We got a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it in. I'll go with best special teamer of all time. I'll go with Devin Hester, best return man of all time, a weapon from really anywhere on the field. I feel bad that he never really developed as a receiver the way that he could have. You got to find a way to just get the ball in the guy's hands and let him go.
Right.
But I think Devin Hester, for what he did in the return game, and he will be in the Hall of Fame, should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't have a vote. But I'd like to think the people who do recognize he should get into the Hall of Fame. So I'll go Devin Hester.
Yeah, I hear you there. That probably would have – it was in the running for my first pick for sure. Honestly, good note about Devin Hester too. Check out his little boy on Instagram playing football. It's kind of funny. He's like this little small kid with a giant head. It's like a big bobblehead, and he makes everybody miss and breaks their ankles. It's kind of funny. But Devin Hester, yes, I'm with you there. All right, well, I mean, I'll go Adam Vinatieri. Yeah. One of the greatest special teams players of all time in clutch moments. I think that's all I can really say. I mean, he helps the greatest franchise we've seen in football over the last 20 years. He helped them win a lot of Super Bowls, helped the Colts too. So he's just, I know this is the Adam Vinatieri Memorial Draft, but as far as clutch kickers are concerned or kickers you trust to come through in the clutch, Adam Vinatieri, I think, is at the top of the list in the all-time category as far as that's concerned. So I will take him.
And that really is one of the all-time great moments in league history. That
amazing.
That goal that forced overtime after the tuck rule allowed the Patriots to continue to pursue the overtime, and obviously they won it in overtime. I'll go Ray Guy next. Ray Guy was like the punter's punter. Ray Guy was the guy who just bombed it everywhere. And I remember when they did the Pro Bowl – when they first built the Superdome and the scoreboard hung over the field.
Oh, right.
He hit the thing. He hit it, I think, multiple times in the Pro Bowl. So the guy just had a cannon, and he finally got into the Hall of Fame, which was long overdue but well-deserved. But Ray Guy was, you know, there were few punter or kicker names that kind of struck fear in your heart in the 70s. Ray Guy did.
Ray Guy, you're right. You know, I know Ray Guy just, you know, from my younger years. It's one of those guys, like one of those punters where it just looked different and it sounded different when the ball went off his foot. It's a lot like actually a guy who I've thought about taking here. I don't know if I'm going to get it to, but like Shane Leckler. Remember that punter for the Raiders too? It's a weapon. It was like, oh, they got the ball at midfield. Well, they're going to punt it and you're getting it inside the five. There's like a magnet with the ball inside the 5 yard line with the way they did it. So, good one by you. I like that a lot. All right, so I'm stuck here, and I'm not sure which one I wanted to go with here. Oh, okay. I'm going to go with a guy from my childhood, the first special teamer that I saw, like, be a real thing, and that's Bill Bates of the Dallas Cowboys. Like, when I was growing up in the 80s and my dad had to play the Dallas Cowboys, it seemed like every time the Cowboys punted, Bill Bates was the one down there making the tackle. Whether it was, you know, Dave Meggett or whoever, he was making the tackle. So he's the first guy I knew of that, and of course, he is one of the greatest of all time. Played on all special teams and was just like a heat-seeking missile as far as a tackler on kickoff, punt, whatever it may be, but he was really the first guy I knew in that manner.
I guess I'll see your Bill Bates and raise you as Steve Tasker if you're going to leave him on the board.
Yeah.
We've got to put him on there.
No doubt.
I really thought about Reggie Roby, though, because Roby showed up early to mid-80s, and he had this release, and it was like the ball exploded off of his foot. When he held it differently than other punters did, but that when that ball hit, it was like it was shot out of a rifle,
right,
going the other way. But I'll go Steve Tasker as my pick.
I'm with you there. I would have taken him next if you didn't. Tasker is, again, watching him with the Buffalo Bills, it just seemed like, you know, the ball and the time the returner was going to catch the ball, we're always going to meet with Steve Tasker being there simultaneously. I mean, it just seems like it worked that way. Okay. My last one, I'm going to go with Josh Cribbs, the old Cleveland Browns football player.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because Cribbs, to me, is unique in this aspect. He was a great returner, but unlike a lot of other great returners, he was also a great go down the field and make the tackle type of guy. That's rare. Usually, like, the go down the field and make the tackle kind of guy, that's just what he does, and then he blocks for the returners and that. This guy was a great returner, yet one of the best, you know, pursuers of the football they had on special teams. I think that's really rare. I'm going to give Josh Cribbs some love there.
You know, that's how Cordero Patterson kind of found a second act for his career. You know, he's obviously a great returner, but he became, in his fourth year with the Vikings, a gunner. I don't think he does that anymore, but was very good at it. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. We will wrap up this Thursday, or as Chris would say, Friday edition of PFT Live right after.
Blair Walsh was a great, great special teamer.
Gary Anderson, too.
Yes, they were.
You know, after the Chiefs got their first Super Bowl ring, you heard guys like Chris Jones saying he wants six or seven. And now Stephon Diggs, who has zero, says he wants five, Chris. And we are huge Stephon Diggs fans. And I'm not doubting his ability to get one. But my advice would be start with one. Don't get to two, three, four, or five. Start with one before you start trying to rack up Super Bowl rings.
No,
they're too hard to get. Tom Brady's made it look far easier than it is.
Well, and Brady's always thing was the next one, right? It was never like, I'm going to like get this many more. It's just, I want the next one. That's what he does. And that's the approach you got. You know, listen, you'd like to, it's not easy to win one, let alone five. I agree with that. I don't know why you say that either way. But I think he also is trying to just show he really wants greatness. He expects greatness. And that's why I think guys make those type of comments sometimes publicly, just to kind of show that aspect of themselves.
Yeah, and I got no problem with it, but it is so much harder than one guy who has seven and is working on eight has made it look over the years. That's it. Chris, enjoy your four-day weekend.
I will.
Everyone else, we'll see you
back
here
tomorrow
morning.
Get to work, Mike. See ya.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.